Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The news comes from around the NFL. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is going to be out for the season. The Steelers announced today he had an MRI on his right elbow last night. It was determined by the Steelers doctors that surgery is required. Surgery expected for this week. He'll go on injured reserve. He is out for the year. The Steelers lose Ben Roethlisberger for the year. And in New Orleans, Drew Brees is likely to have surgery, thumb surgery. It could sideline him for about 6 weeks. Brees knew last night that he needed surgery for ligament damage on his thumb. He got hurt late in the first quarter after his right throwing hand appeared to hit a Rams defensive tackle's hand. So New Orleans turns to Teddy Bridgewater, the NFL's highest-paid backup quarterback. Here at One Bills Drive, the Bills in, getting ready for their next game, the Cincinnati Bengals, home opener. Bills have started the season 2-0 on the road for the first time in franchise history. Josh Allen has now passed for and rushed for a touchdown in three straight games, the first NFL player to do that since Cam Newton did it in 2013. Bills home opener Sunday. The Bengals come in here 1 o'clock on Sunday. The game officially a sellout, but the Bills do have limited club seat inventory available for sale. The team they beat yesterday, the New York Giants, looking at their quarterback, and Giants coach Pat Shurmur will not fully commit to Eli Manning as the starter. He says that he's been our starter so far. He says he's going to evaluate every position every week. The Eagles were hit hard by an avalanche of injuries last night in their 24-20 loss to Atlanta. Wide receivers DeSean Jackson went out with the groin. Wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey went out with a calf in the first half. Tight end Dallas Goedert appeared to tweak his calf. Big problems for the Philadelphia Eagles besides the loss to Atlanta. Monday Night Football tonight, the 0-1 Browns and the 0-1 New York Jets. A replay of the first telecast of Monday Night Football when the Browns beat the Jets back in September 1970. Kickoff tonight, 8:15 at MetLife Stadium in New York. And the Sabres preseason begins tonight. They'll play Pittsburgh at the Pagula Ice Arena on Penn State's campus tonight at 7 o'clock. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our studio, our Seneca studio. And joining us on the line, a guy who took a good long look at yesterday's game. He does it every week. Happy to have Bills Radio color analyst, my partner on Sundays, Eric Wood, on the line. Hello, Eric. It's me and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Good to talk with you.
Great talking with you guys as well.
A good, solid win. I told Steve, and you can agree or disagree, there were elements of luck in the win over the Jets. Yesterday, that was just hard work and outstanding execution, I thought. There was really very little luck involved in that Buffalo victory yesterday.
I agree. I was talking to Terry Pegula before the game yesterday, and I didn't check his math, but he said at one point during the Jets-Bills game, the Jets had a 99% chance of winning, and I think that included teams with a -4 turnover margin and maybe a 16-0 score, and combining all that. So, yes, there is an element of luck when you make a comeback. Now, you still have to earn it. You got to go make the plays, which they did, and it takes a team that's willing to fight to the end, which they are. But there is an element of luck. Yesterday, the Bills came out. They got knocked right in the mouth in the first drive, 75 rushing yards on 5 plays in a scoring drive for the Giants. They made excellent adjustments. The offense was able to get in a rhythm in the first half and put up significant points. And, you know, that was a win that you expected the Bills to have on the road against a worse team. And the Bills are more talented than the Giants at this point. But it was only a 2-point spread. So to go in there and have a 14-point comfortable win, that's a big deal for the Bills.
We're asking our viewers to chime in, Eric, about what their biggest takeaway from the Bills' win over the Giants. What's your biggest takeaway from this game?
Hard to pinpoint just one, honestly. You know, the defense sticks out immediately because they played excellent again today, yesterday, minus that first drive. But I love the direction of the offense. Year two under Brian Daboll, with more talent on the field, it looks like he can open up the playbook a little bit more this year. The guys that Josh Allen's throwing to on the outside, and when you add Cole Beasley and John Brown, seems to just add a whole new element and a whole new dimension to Brian Daboll's offense. And, you know, it's just an awesome sight when they have tight ends that can block, and they can go 12 personnel, 13 personnel, 21 personnel with a running back and a fullback. And then they can also, out of almost any personnel grouping, because they're also athletic, including the fullback, can go five wide. And I think Josh Allen's doing a great job right now, especially early in the game yesterday, taking the throws that the Giants gave him to get that completion percentage up where it needs to be for the Bills to have long-term success.
Talking with Eric Wood, radio color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, longtime Bills center. On the subject of defense, yesterday's defense, Eric, and we talked about this a bit on the air, but I could not get like a straight answer in the locker room doing post-game interviews from anybody on defense about what they changed schematically after the first drive, the 75-yard drive, 55 yards by Saquon Barkley. What did you see? What did the Bills do differently on defense from a scheme sense that maybe they did not do in that first possession for New York?
Not necessarily scheme-wise, but to me they looked a little passive on the first few run plays for the Giants. The linebackers weren't hitting it downhill like they normally do, and maybe that was because they were afraid to miss a gap. And if you miss a gap against Saquon Barkley so fast, he can take it right to the house. So maybe that's why. I thought after the first drive, the Bills' edge defenders, and with Sean McDermott's scheme, oftentimes that's the cornerbacks. I thought the edge defenders did a great job of keeping Saquon Barkley in the box, not letting those toss cracks go for big yards, which we saw in the first drive. The touchdown run was a play called, you know, everyone in the league calls it duo. Pittsburgh Steelers kind of made it famous, and they run duo. And when that play bounces right to the corner. But when you have Tre'Davious White sitting out there, and he's not on the line of scrimmage before Saquon can get ahead of steam, that's a really tough play for him. The other times I saw the Giants run that play throughout the rest of the game, the edge defenders were right there bottling him in and back to the bigger defenders for the Bills.
One of the things, and you can speak to this as a former offensive lineman, tell us how the creative play calling of Daboll and the game plan itself really helps the guys up front.
You know, the creativity is tremendous for the guys up front. You know, you're talking about a touchdown pass to Isaiah McKenzie, which is essentially a handoff jet sweep. Well, the Bills' offensive line was blocking right on that play, and the jet sweep goes to the left. The Bills' line's blocking right because they're going to hang that edge defender on the left side, and they want the linebackers to be influenced, which they were. The Giants' linebackers read the offensive linemen, so they're not necessarily paying attention to the backfield action. Well, when the Bills' offensive line goes right, the two linebackers for the Giants, they both step to their left, the Bills' right, and it's out the gate. I mean, that's a free play for the Bills' offensive line, and that's a 22-yard touchdown pass for Josh Allen. And that type of creativity, kind of taking the low-hanging fruit that the defense is giving you, that makes it a lot easier on your guys. You know, one of the first third and longs, they run a five-wide set. Well, Frank Gore chips the defensive end and crushes him. It was awesome to see Frank's tough as nails. But that helps out the offensive line. And he does a lot of just little nuances that protects the offensive line, which I love.
Hey, Eric, one thing, and you can talk, again, qualified to talk about offensive line play, but I am surprised at how mobile and athletic Buffalo's offensive line looks through the first two games. And I was telling somebody this morning, it's almost reminiscent of like 1970s, 1980s NFL when guards were pulling and people running around on the offensive line. Those are 265-pound guys. These guys are 335 pounds, and they still run well. I'm really impressed with how well they move, and especially Mitch Morse.
Yeah, for sure. They've done a great job of pulling out in space and getting blocks. And you know, a lot of that is back to that creativity that Steve mentioned. When you have multiple schemes and they're not anticipating you pulling, you can get out there and look like a really good athlete. When linebackers anticipating you pulling, he'll make you miss or he'll put a shoulder right in your chest. So all that combined has led to some really good run schemes with the Bills pulling, with the Bills offensive linemen pulling out in front. And yesterday, for the second week in a row, or have very big productive plays. Yesterday was a touchdown. The first week, it just got him down to the red zone on what I call a G scheme, or what's known as a G scheme in the NFL, where Spain or Feliciano will pull for the end man on the line of scrimmage, and Morse is just pulling for that next guy in the box. And both times, it helps when you have great tight end blocking, which the Bills had both weeks. And then the great kickout block, and Morse has done a phenomenal job in space. And Singletary does an excellent job for a young guy of setting up his blocks out there because, you know, you mentioned how big these offensive linemen are. Well, the guys they're pulling for are much smaller and more athletic. it requires a back to put them on you, and Singletary's also done a great job of that.
You have said, and I know you wrote about it in a piece that's going up on BuffaloBills.com about, here's your quote from BuffaloBills.com. The Bills almost have two different types of run game now with Devin Singletary and Frank Gore. Can you elaborate on that, Eric?
Yeah, if you look at the charts of the run plays for each running back, you're going to see a lot more inside run, whether it's power or dive plays with Frank Gore. And with Singletary, you're getting more of your G schemes, your wide zone schemes, and that's smart. They're different type running backs. And then what you could also do off of that is you just marry your play action. It's okay to have certain runs you like with certain guys. Just make sure that you marry all your play actions with the guy that's in the game, which they've done a phenomenal job of so far. And then you will see every now and then Frank Gore bounce one of those runs where, hey, you know, they may have an inside zone called or a power scheme called. Well, when the defense all funnels in because it's Frank Gore, that gives him a chance to hit one out the gate.
Well, at the centerpiece of all of this is Josh Allen. What's the biggest surprise or maybe the biggest difference in Josh Allen's play in your eyes from last year to this year?
I mean, not to be derogatory towards last year's team, but it appears like he has guys that he has a lot of trust in outside and guys that can separate on man-to-man coverage and sit perfectly in zones right where he's looking. But he's on the same page tremendously right now with John Brown and Cole Beasley. And, you know, Daboll's opening up his playbook, the motions to empty some of the sets out of trips to help him with his man zone reads. Josh getting the ball out of his hands quick. He's making decisive reads. And, you know, he throws two picks in week one. One wasn't a great throw, but it hit Cole Beasley, and it gets tipped up. And the other one was a tipped ball in the air. So if the Bills have a little better fortune on those two plays right there, and Josh is rolling into week three with no picks, he might be a national headline even more than he is already.
Hey, Eric, a question about the Bills' defense and what, another five tip passes yesterday? I think they're either at or close to double figures in tip passes by defensive linemen through two games. What's going on up there? What do you see up there? You're a veteran of line play, obviously.
Yeah, so the Bills' defense line does a great job of recognizing three-step protection. So a number of their batted balls have been when the quarterback takes a really shallow drop in the pocket, he's looking to get the ball out fast. Well, a lot of times you can't get a sack anyways there. The Bills are doing a great job of getting their hands up in the passing lanes at those times. And then also what Bills defensive line does a lot of time on third down and pass rush situations is they run line games. And the line games are the defensive linemen up front are running pick stunts to try and get the other guy free. Well, a lot of times when you do those, you're moving laterally across the line of scrimmage. And a number of times so far this year and last, as the Bills are moving laterally down the line of scrimmage and the quarterback rears back to throw, that guy has a shot at tipping the ball. And you've seen it a number of times, and we mentioned on the air yesterday, the Bills last year, number one in the league against the pass, number two in overall defense. This year, tops in the league against the pass. A big reason for that is pass rush and batted balls at the line of scrimmage.
How does this team get better week to week going forward? What's the next step you'd like to see the offense make?
You know, on offense, you know, you could always nitpick and say, you know, week to week, there's always going to be something that happened in the game. Yesterday you could say maybe we got a little conservative in the third quarter. I actually think it wasn't as much the conservative nature of the Bills. It was more the Giants started dialing up pressure like they did more against the Cowboys in week one, and they brought their corners up and allowed a lot less free access throws. But, you know, they were pretty stagnant in the third quarter. And when you get a lead, you want to just step on a team's throat. And sorry for the football analogy, if that's a little graphic for One Bill Five Radio. But you want to keep your foot on the pedal, I should have said. But, you know, they could do that. But, you know, and moving forward, I'd like to see the Bills capitalize on some of their big plays through the air. Josh Allen had John Brown over the top on an early play action. That would have been an excellent hit. Instead, they end up scoring on the drive, but then you show a number of your red zone plays that you might have had saved for later in the game. So hit on a couple more balls down the field to really open up the field, but they were efficient yesterday. And then I'm assuming what's coming next would be what can the Bills defense do to improve, and they just got to be consistent week to week. And obviously they start slow yesterday, and they would love to correct that. But, you know, the Giants guys get paid too. You're not going to play a perfect game. I was so impressed the way they made adjustments and were able to bounce back from that drive. But, you know, on defense, you know, they've done a great job of limiting big plays, and they just got to continue doing that. Yesterday, you could say maybe the pass rush wasn't where it was week one. Only one sack yesterday, but a number of times the defensive lineman's batting balls. Eli would get rid of the ball as the pocket's collapsing in on him, and that causes errant throws and gives the secondary chances to make plays on the ball.
Last thing I got for you, Eric, Monday Night Football. You're going to watch tonight the Browns and what's left of the New York Jets? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to watch. You got an AFC East rival in the game tonight, and then an AFC opponent in the Browns. And, you know, with Quinn and Williams, Darnold, and C.J. Mosley down, the Browns are really drawing a nice deal here. But, you know, the Giants are at home. The crowd will be lively for Monday Night Football. It'll be interesting. I like the Browns to win tonight. And I think I saw it this morning as a 6.5-point spread. You know, so that's not a hot take me saying that the Browns, I think, are going to win tonight. But the Browns are going to come out. Both teams are going to be extremely hungry. 0-2 teams last year only made the playoffs at a rate of 12% last year. And teams will know that. Guys on the teams know that. So there'll be desperation football played on both sides of the ball tonight to not drop to 0-2.
Yeah, work on the hot takes, Eric. We need more hot takes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not going to sit on here and predict that who is it? Trevor Siemian and the Jets are going to beat the Browns, but they
right.
could.
That'd be hot. That would be a hot take.
Everyone thought the Browns were going to go into Tennessee week one and beat them pretty good. So we'll see.
All right, Eric. Good
thanks,
talking to you again. We'll talk this week. Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks, guys.
Eric Wood, Bills radio color analyst, played 9 seasons in the NFL for the Bills, former first round pick in 2009. He is a pleasure to work with. He is a pleasure to work with. I mean, he's always upbeat, good-humored. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, he's working hard. He does a college game. He did the ACC game, Furman at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, Saturday afternoon, and then made his way up the coast to Newark. Yeah, that's not an easy trip, right?
Yeah, you start doing those ACC games, you're not next to LaGuardia or JFK even Buffalo Niagara Airport. You got to travel a little bit to get someplace where you can catch a flight or just flat rent a car and go.
Yep.
Start driving. That is a grind.
Yeah, he's working.
I did that last year, that 7-day-a-week thing. That is a grind.
Yes, I know.
Oh,
I know. Hey, what do you think? What's your biggest takeaway from the Bills' win over the Giants? That is our Twitter poll today. Let's check and see how the poll's coming along. On Twitter, when we ask that question, we've got how many votes in? 1,100 votes in. What's your biggest takeaway from the Bills' win over the Giants? It's close. 46% of you say it's the way the defense adjusted after the Giants' first drive. You just heard Eric talk about that. 45% now say it's the Josh Allen connection with John Brown and Cole Beasley. Impressive. 4% say that Frank Gore still has it. 7% say something else. Let's hear from you. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call here from William in Lakeview. Hello, William. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, yesterday in the game with a minute and 35 seconds left in the half, we had a 3rd and 3, and they had a good rush, and Josh rolled out. And they roughed him up, grabbed his collar, raked his face, and then Cody knocked the guy down. Okay, there's a skirmish. The ref says intentional grounding, 5 yards, and loss of down declined. 15 yards they'll take. And then the next thing they did, it was 4th and 18. So they called both penalties on us.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I am. I went back and forth a bunch of times. You have to check it out.
I'm looking at it right now. It was unnecessary roughness on Ford. That's a 15-yard penalty. It went from
they declined the loss of down penalty because it was a post play thing. It was a dead ball foul after the play was over, so it goes on the next play. They don't get third down back because the third down was completely over when Cody Ford did his thing. That's why otherwise they would have accepted the intentional grounding penalty rather than.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But because the Cody Ford foul was a dead ball foul after the play was over, it's enforced on the next down, which was 4th down. Get it?
So, I get it, but it sounds to me that they gave us both penalties.
No, they didn't. They didn't. That's why they declined the one and not the other. The Cody Ford penalty wasn't on third down. It was on fourth down because fourth down starts as soon as third down is over, and it was over.
Thank you, William. Let's take a call here from Ransomville, New York. Dwayne in Ransomville. Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'd like to say I'm so impressed about the offensive linemen. The power push towards the sidelines for Singletary and the other runners to get over there for the touchdowns. And last week, with the Jets, they opened up holes for Singletary. It almost looked like Thurman Thomas was running through there. I just can't get over how these guys have come along so fast.
Well, you're right, Dwayne. And it was a concern starting the regular season because they didn't play that much together in the preseason because of all the little injuries that they had. Mitch Morse in the concussion protocol. Spain had an ankle at the end there. Couple other guys. They lost Adrian Waddle early on in training camp. He couldn't finish training camp, so they had some guys hurt, and none of the starting five really actually got to take very many snaps together until really the first week of the season. So it does say something about Bobby Johnson, the job he's doing with the offensive line, that they came together and are playing so well.
I told you I did this radio interview this morning with our buddy Ross Tucker, and they kept asking me, are you surprised by Josh? Are you surprised by Beasley and John Brown, are you surprised by this? And no, I'm not. You know what I am surprised by? And you just hit on it. How well the offensive line has played.
They
didn't get together at all. You know, it came together quickly. Now, it's only two games. There are tougher opponents ahead, although the Jets' defensive front was pretty strong week one. But that is the one thing I would say I'm genuinely surprised about through two games this year.
You knew it was going to be better because, quite frankly, it couldn't have gotten worse than it was last year.
Yeah.
You forget. I mean, this team was – the Dolphins are, 102. They're giving up 102 to 3 they've scored or something like that, 102 to – they've been
102
outscored.
102 to 10.
Well, what were the Bills last year? They were like
– the first two
they
games?
They were like 90, right? 90 to 6 or something like that. Yeah. So – it was bad last year. You think about how differently these two seasons have started. Certainly the Bills took off against two quality opponents a year ago. It was the Baltimore Ravens and the San Diego Chargers, the LA Chargers. 78 for 23. It was pretty bad last year the first 2 weeks. Now it's not so much. It's a lot better place to be here, and large part of it is because of the offensive line and their ability to push people around and to have some sort of running game for a young quarterback.
Yep. Hey, Steve, when you go to a Bills home game, have you ever played the 50-50 jackpot game?
I do not because I'm not allowed to win it.
Okay, that was a test.
Yeah.
I was testing you. If you said
you know,
yes,
I played a bunch of the Sabres ones, and I found out I couldn't win that one either.
Don't say anything.
What's going on, dude?
I want to let the fans know you're going to the game this week. It's a special Bills Foundation 50-50 jackpot worth $160,000. Special ticket pricing, 3 tickets for $5, 10 tickets for $10, 100 tickets for $20. You can buy them from mobile sellers and any of the 10 kiosks throughout the stadium.
Three for five.
And 100 tickets for
$20.
10
for 10. 5 for 10.
10 for 10.
10 for 10. Or 100 for 20.
Yeah. The fan with a winning ticket wins $80,000 or 50% of the net proceeds, whichever is higher. The remaining proceeds support the Bills Foundation, supporting youth health and wellness initiatives in the Western New York community. Big 50-50 jackpot coming up this Sunday. You had the right answer. I was testing you. I was going to turn you right into human resources. If you did not.
Just send me a little.
Right upstairs to Barb Evans.
Put the proverbial letter in my file, yeah.
All right, Maddie Glab is going to join us next. She's got the Maddies, the awards for the Buffalo victory yesterday. Maddie Glab coming up when we return. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. Welcome back, One Bills Live. Coming to you from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. And this has become a routine now. On Mondays after victories, we have the Maddies, the presentation of the Maddies, the highly coveted awards that come from Maddie Glab, who is with us. She is a reporter for Buffalo Bills, buffalobills.com, on the social media platforms, and for the Buffalo Sabres. Welcome, Maddie. Good to have you.
Good to be here.
You're also the host of Bills Tonight, right?
Yeah,
last night.
With Fred Jackson.
With Fred Jackson.
It went well. I mean, let's keep winning because When you win, the shows are fun, and much, then you get the Maddies.
Yeah, much easier show.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, it was a good show. The team played well.
Yeah.
I'm excited to experience New Era Field for the first time.
I don't even want to
I haven't done it.
It's great.
I don't want to think about it, how crazy it's going to be.
It is, you know, people say, yeah, is it so, what's it like? Let me tell you, there is absolutely nothing like coming down the tunnel, being one of the guys with a helmet on, and for the, you know, seeing how that goes on opening day. Yeah, you don't need to. Everybody says, well, Marv used to get, or my coach, Marv Levy, used to get.
You ever heard of him?
He's a Chicago guy.
Right, yeah. Okay. So he used to get criticized because he wasn't really a rah-rah guy, like the Bill Parcells or the Mike Ditkas of the world of that era, right? And he says, listen, guys, if I have to give you guys a pep talk before a game, we're walking out of this tunnel, I got the wrong guys.
Right.
And he's right. And that's all he had to say, and he's true.
Where will you watch the home game, Maddie?
So I'll watch the home game with Fred Jackson. We'll be in, it's like a cafeteria inside the stadium. So
this Sunday?
Yeah, this Sunday.
The stadium or the field house? Here, the cafeteria.
Yeah, at the field.
The field house.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do
over
that?
There?
Oh, no, over at, like, we are right by where all the game production stuff is for the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah, so we'll watch the game in there together.
Your routine. I know you've thought this through. At some point, you got to get out and listen for yourself what that crowd sounds like.
Oh, I will. I will make it a point to escape for a little bit.
You got to get out
there. Because I know it's going to be something special.
You know what I do? And I've done games for years. But every once in a while, when it gets really crazy, because I have headphones on, mm-hmm. I will take them off just so I can hear in real sound how loud it is. And it's so loud, you can't talk to the person next to you. That's how loud it'll get. You
got
to experience
that.
Go down on the field pre-game or when they come out, you be down there, and then come back up for the game. Trust me, and I tell people you don't ever watch one of the Bills games on the sidelines because it'll ruin you. You'll never want to see it any place. You know what I mean? Because they're so big. It's like they're so big. It's like livestock running around out there. They're huge, and they're so and it's, it moves so fast. That's the thing I think that gets it. Now you've seen, you know, you've done Tennessee, you've done these Division I games too, but the guys are so big. All the way across the roster, and they're so fast.
And any football player is big to me. I'm so tiny, so everybody looks like a giant.
I would be interested next week, provided things go well, to hear your comparison of, was it Neyland Stadium?
Yeah, Neyland Stadium. They fit 102,455 people in
and
there.
And they get loud there.
They get very loud.
I'm interested in your comparison.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it compares. I was talking to Kevin Johnson in the hallway today, and he was saying how excited he is to be in there for the first time.
Yeah.
So I think you add 23 new players, they're all very excited to be at
home.
And
you, 24.
I think sometimes you worry, it's almost too much. You know, they react and they start to play differently because of it. You know, so there's a little bit of that going around too.
Yeah,
so
it's almost like, are there more butterflies coming home than there are for your first game away?
Right.
So that's next week. We got yesterday to talk about this week's game. And we have the Maddies. You have the wonderful Maddie Trophy. Which is a special.
So beautiful.
And each recipient of the Maddies gets one of these to take home and put on their mantle.
Yeah, definitely.
No, they don't.
Hey, we should get serious about this and actually get some trophies made. They can.
I'll tell you
rock
what. If they go, if they get to 10-0, I'll spring for the trophy.
All right.
We have that on tape.
Steve Tasker's paying for.
You know, we say that all the time about this show. Maybe we should get serious about this. That's kind of
and we never do.
But you also have the envelopes, the votes recorded by the accountants at Price Waterhouse for the Maddies. So let's do it. The Maddies. Maddie Glad with her awards from yesterday's win. One Bills Live presents.
Super fancy.
The Maddies live from the, what's the theater in L.A.? Where they always do the Oscars? I forget the name of it. The Maddies from our studio, from the Seneca studio.
I have no idea.
The presentation of the Maddies. That's good. And actually, if the Bills keep winning, you're going to have to come out like in a, you know, formal wear.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know about that.
We'll have you in a side podium off the side. You can stand
give me one of those T-shirt, you know, the T-shirt tuxedos. Yeah, give me a T-shirt dress.
Perfect, yeah.
All right, so the Maddies from yesterday's. You got to tell us the categories, too, please.
So all categories, offensive and defensive MVP we got. Best block, best pass breakup, best reaction post-game, best dressed, and best celebration.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
So we'll go with offensive MVP first. And my winner is the offensive coordinator himself, Brian Daboll. I thought he called a great game. It was very creative. The way that the team motioned, the way that they ran play action off a lot of similar looking things. Yeah. I thought it was awesome. You know, you come out in week one passing the ball, and in week two you completely mix it up passing and throwing based off of what the Giants defense was presenting, and they had success in the run game. They had success in the air. Josh had success on the ground. You mix it up, eight receivers touch the ball.
Right.
You have Lee Smith and Pat DeMarco catching passes. I mean, that's getting pretty creative.
What are you trying to say about those two?
I love it. Okay. More.
You're right, though. You're right. I mean, that's – and the catch Lee Smith made was a nice one, I got to say. It was a really nice one. It's a tough catch.
Yes.
It was a really good
and a
catch.
Good throw. Good it's throw. Important to note that the Maddies can go to players and coaches. Just want to make that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Players and coaches.
Okay. So that's offensive MVP, Brian Daboll. Now yes. You got defensive MVP?
Defensive MVP. This goes – now, last week I said the whole defense. I got some flack for it.
Well,
so
you should, yeah.
Whatever. A little controversy last week.
I'll shrink it down, and I'll say the interior defensive line gets
So six guys instead of 11.
No, four.
I said the interior. I didn't say
just the
whole
interior.
Defensive
four
line.
Guys.
The Phillips brothers.
Four guys.
The Phillips guys. And,
Mr. Star. Oliver Star. And Star.
What did you see there? What did you like?
Well, they batted some more balls down. Harrison Phillips bats two passes. Ed Oliver gets his hands up, tips a ball. It leads to a Trent Murphy interception. I think they put a lot of pressure on Eli Manning and on their offensive line. They revamped the right side of their offensive line. The Giants did in the offseason, and their strength is definitely in the interior. And I think they did a great job putting pressure on Eli and forcing him to be uncomfortable. You limit Saquon, and Eli has to go to the air. And we saw how that worked out. He started 1-for-7, ended up cleaning that up definitely. But I thought the interior defensive line did a great job.
I mean,
defensive line has played great the last two weeks.
I like it.
Very nice. Very
Any
nice.
Questions, Mr. Tasker?
No. I'm totally on board
You're taking
with that.
Notes. You totally taking
on board.
Notes?
I am writing all these down.
He's a big fan of the Maddies.
What's this category coming up?
Best block.
Oh, this is a good one.
And I hope we have some video for this one. Because the best block goes to the rookie, Dawson Knox, for his awesome block with that Isaiah McKenzie touchdown.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. And you had a lot of different people blocking and doing some great key blocks in games. You have Dawson Knox, and then you had Frank Gore, who had a great block, too, on a touchdown run, the Josh Allen touchdown run. But here is Dawson Knox leading the way for Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, he pushed the defensive back all the way back to the end zone, starting.
Yeah,
you know, it was. I don't know
and
what
I
it was.
Think,
a 19-yard
I think it was.
Run.
He pushed Jabril Peppers out of the way.
Yeah,
it was a
really good sustained block. Kept his hands inside the guy's frame and just drove him back. I mean, he was the only guy that had a chance on that play was the guy Knox was supposed to block. He had to go out and do it in space. It was like a 16 or 17
like
yard touchdown.
Just manhandling him,
and he steamrolled him into the end zone. That was great. Yeah, yeah. That was the key play.
I was thinking when I watched that play, watched the game over this morning. I was thinking, man, Dawson Knox came here as a receiving tight end. Look at him block. Look at how aggressive he was in the block. You know, it wasn't just one hit. He stayed with it.
And to have guys who are pass catching tight ends, whether it's tight ends or receivers, running backs, to take pride in the way that they block and be completely happy and fine to help in the blocking game, I think is great. I think that tells you a lot about the football team that we have here.
More defense coming up in the Maddies. What do you have next?
Best pass breakup.
Best pass breakup.
Oh, my gosh. It goes to Micah Hyde for laying the hurt on the Giants.
That was a good one.
Oh, my gosh.
That guy. Oh, yeah. Who was this receiver? I've lost his name now. Was a Fowler?
Oh, my gosh. Ouch. Yeah, it was Fowler. Benny Fowler.
Benny Fowler.
That is going to hurt. That's going to leave a mark for a while.
Benny Fowler got up, like you said. It's like when you were kids. Benny Fowler, that's when your friend from across the street gets up after he gets hit like that and says, you know what, I'm just going to go home.
I'm done here.
I don't want to play anymore.
Wave the white flag. We're done.
And he did it perfect. It wasn't like the old-time hit where, you know, everybody led with their head and all that. He did it with his shoulder. And, man, oh, man, you could just tell that hurt.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was walking to the bus.
That was a good one.
After the game, I was walking to the bus. I said to someone, and it was after two games, this observation I had, I said, we probably have the best two safeties in the league right now. We really do. The best safety combination.
I think so.
You know what I mean?
A lot of people believe. I think a lot of people agree with you.
Yeah, those
certainly, I think the division agrees with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
All right. Speaking of post game, what do you got?
Speaking of post game, I have QB1 Josh Allen letting everybody know that the Bills are the team from New York, and he is from New York. So here's some video on it of him letting everybody know.
There was a chance you could have ended up in New York. Obviously, the Jets were heavily involved.
I'm in New York.
Here.
Okay, yeah.
What kind of point do you think you can prove about what kind of player you are to the New York City fans, you know, and the New York teams?
One New York team. I'm just kidding.
He winks at the guy, too. But I just say the question, yeah, the question offends me is if, oh, don't you probably, you know, you had a chance to play here in New York and instead you wound up in Buffalo. And well, what do you say to the New York fans? Who cares what the New York fans think of him, right? Who cares that he's not a New York? Isn't he in a better spot?
Yeah.
Doesn't he fit here much more than he would for either one of
and
those
slappy outfits? It's year two. He's in his second year as a quarterback. It's not like he's a rookie this year and we're talking about what other teams he could have played for.
Yeah. Typical self-centered New York, we're the greatest. Doesn't everybody want to be here? No. Josh Allen, I think he's in the right spot.
I don't think Eli Manning wants to be there right now, right? I
mean, that's a good point.
You know?
That's a good point.
And it's easy to say in on a day.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They like today when the team's 2-0 and they look really good and they've done things the right way and it looks like it's going to be sustainable. I mean, going for, look what's happening in Miami. You got players asking to be traded out of that that cesspool.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
you got guys in New York. That team in New York, they're a mess. The Jets are a mess, and this is the year when they were supposed to take a big leap forward. Now they're on fire spiraling.
And it's great.
And the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills, it's a love fest over here.
Yeah.
And this is a group of guys that are really in it for each other and for the team, for the town, the relationships there. I mean, it's, you know, you can say what you want about, you know, the grass being green or other places. I think we got a lot of guys here in this building that are enjoying the green grass right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Maddies continue. You look around the league a little bit, right?
We're going around the league. This is best dressed.
You don't
have
to be a Buffalo Bill to be awarded a Maddie.
Yeah, we're gonna take it league-wide. Best dressed.
Excellent.
This goes to the Jaguars quarterback, Gardner Minshew, for what he rocked off of the plane.
He's serious with this, right? This is the way he wants it. It's almost as if he lost a bet.
I know, right?
And if you can't see it, if you're listening on the radio, he wore like a 1976 leisure suit with the shirt collar open down just above the navel.
He's got the chest hair. He's got the chain. Gold chain.
Sunglasses.
He's got this mustache. Sunglasses.
He's going for this, right? Did he lose a bet?
White. He's wearing a white belt, for goodness sake. And he's not even on a golf course.
Did he lose a bet? That would be the thing I would want to know. You know how some, like, you see baseball teams make each other dress up in funny ways. That's not what's going on here, right?
I hope he didn't, because I love the look.
You love the look?
You love the look.
I like the look.
Wait a minute, love or like? What do you like about it?
I love it. I think it's
so
funny.
Retro.
It is so retro.
Oh, my gosh.
But who doesn't like to laugh?
He looked like a photo.
That made me laugh.
Yeah. He looked like a photo negative of John Travolta, red instead of a white suit. That's what he had on in the no vest.
Amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Unfortunately, the Jags didn't get the win.
I don't see how they could not when you look that good.
They lost the Texans by points.
Yeah, missed a two-point conversion. Yeah.
And one more, Maddie?
One more. We've got best celebration.
Best celebration.
And this one goes to fake Andy Reid in the stands at the Chiefs game.
Oh, excellent.
At the Raiders Chiefs game?
Yes, Raiders Chiefs game.
Look at him. He's got a
playbook.
Play
call. Yeah. He's got the headset. He's got the glasses. He's got the hat. He's got the mustache. He looks like Andy Reid.
I got to say, over the years, I've made this assessment. It doesn't take a lot to look like Andy Reid. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who can dress up just a couple of cosmetic changes and look like Andy Reid. You're looking at me like I'm going to do it.
I'm going to watch you in the booth next week, see what you're wearing. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's that difficult to look like Andy Reid.
You get a mustache, you're in, man.
And wire-rimmed glasses
and a mustache.
And
you got the headphones already.
Yeah.
Get a play. You got your play sheet.
Why would I want to look like Andy Reid?
If you were doing Chiefs play-by-play, it would be a job mandate. You would have to dress like him.
That's a good celebration.
That is a good celebration. That is good, especially right down there in Oakland.
Oh, yeah. And the Chiefs just rolled.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? Stevie Johnson when he was here. Funny guy, Bills receiver. Dressed up for Halloween one year as Chan Gailey, the Bills head coach. Mm-hmm. He looked exactly like Chan. He wore his pants the same way. And it was. Do you remember this? It was amazing. He looked exactly like Chan Gailey.
Do you think anybody could do a Sean McDermott look?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I bet people have.
Hat on,
I'm sure.
What about any of the players on this roster?
I bet people have.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if that will be a thing this Halloween.
It would be great to see that get out. So there you go, the Maddies.
Way to go, Maddie.
Thanks,
we'll
Maddie.
See you.
Thanks.
Hopefully we'll see you next week.
What do you got coming up this week? What are you doing?
Coming up this week, I just interviewed Kevin Johnson, which won't actually be for this week. It'll be for the week after. But we've got something coming out with Mitch Moore. Sat down with him. Got to know him a little bit better. He's always great in interviews. Let's see what else. A couple more interviews. Couple features coming
out. Come on
out.
Back on the show. We always got room for you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's fun.
Thanks, Maddie.
Yeah. Maddie Glab with the Maddie. She comes here on Mondays after Bills victories. Just so happens that that's the case this week. Steve and I coming back with more. Chris Brown coming up at 2 o'clock. One Bills Live presented by Kalida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Murph and I had to hustle back in from the control room. We had a huge conversation going on.
We're straighten out some people.
About and we were watching some highlights of the Chiefs game in Oakland yesterday, and I was just saying they showed an all 22 look at the field. So they got five guys going out. Patrick Mahomes drops back. He throws it to the guy that's covered for the 60 yard touchdown. Everybody else was wide open, and I think he had one guy that fell down. And then three other guys that were open, and the fifth guy was running down the middle as a clear out. He just lofted it over everybody, touchdown. And it's like, man, when things are going good, they just go.
It's good to be Patrick Mahomes.
I guess it must be.
On Twitter today, we're asking this question, and we'll ask it on the phone as well. Your biggest takeaway from the Bills' win over the Giants yesterday? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. Vote in the Twitter poll. We got 1,300 of you voted so far, and 46% of you say your biggest takeaway, the way the defense adjusted after the Giants' first drive. Impressed. 43% say your biggest takeaway is that Josh Allen continues to develop that chemistry and that connection with John Brown and Cole Beasley. Just 4% say that Frank Gore still has it. I thought there'd be more than that. 7% have something else in mind. Let's talk about it. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terry in Texas. Hello, Terry. Where are you in Texas? Texas is pretty big.
Yes, sir. I'm in Lubbock.
We talked last week. You're in Lubbock. Happiness is Lubbock, Texas, right? In your rear view mirror? No?
Yeah, something like that. I'm definitely accustomed to seeing Mahomes do some things. Never expected him to be the beast that he is.
Yeah. He is a beast.
So I had to watch the highlights again on YouTube. I got 9 minutes worth, which left me wanting more. But, I mean, Bills look great, obviously. Touchdowns in the red zone is key. We walked away last year and years past with field goals, which I'm sure cost us plenty of games despite our defense. The other thing I want to say, you know, I think the Bills aren't getting their fair share of credit, not necessarily from y'all, but on, you know, social media, things like that. The Giants might have sucked, or they may have a bad defense or some injuries and things like that, but the Bills did a lot of things that were really well. And, you know, even last year's team, not to talk any mess or anything like that, there was a time where they would have made that particular Giants defense look elite. And I think seeing the completions, the 98-yard drive was sick, seeing the guys catching the ball, continuing to move after contact. I'm going to stay on Devin Singletary. He's probably my new favorite player. I think he'd be something to mess with for sure. And Josh Allen looked good, too. When he got sacked the one time, I saw him tuck the ball. He's, you know, paying attention for ball control, not trying to turn it over. All in all, man, I feel real positive about the season.
You should.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. The Jets and Giants probably aren't going to be juggernauts at the end of the year, so you're getting that a little chance to get
boosted up and get some confidence, no question. And the Bills have got a lot of things to clean up, but they do look like a well-rounded team. I think the one thing that is concerning are still turnovers. They turned it over four times last week, and then yesterday they got a little bit of a lucky break on a sack fumble where they called progress down on Josh Allen.
We argued about that.
Yeah, we did, and I think it was an okay call. I don't have a problem.
It was a quick whistle, but I get it.
Maybe, but still, nevertheless, they can't turn it over yet. They're just not that good. And
they've definitely looked plenty worse over the last couple of seasons. I'm a Bills fan in Texas, but my heart, you know, I grew up watching you, Steve, and, you know, all the good, the four Super Bowls and all that good stuff. And, you know, my heart bleeds red, white, and blue for these guys. So, I mean, we'll take it where we can get it, obviously. But, you know, I just want to say, I think, again, that, you know, the national media and things like that isn't giving credit where credit's due just because the Giants are a little banged up.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? Thanks, Terry. Thanks for your call. That's I mentioned it, I think, in our office this morning. Because of what the Patriots have done, because of Antonio Brown's situation, because of how bad the Dolphins are, and now you got news about Roethlisberger and Breeze, the Bills remain under the radar. And you know what, Terry? I like that. Steve, I like that. They are under the radar, clearly. The national media is not onto what they've done, who they are, what they might be. I don't mind
that
at all.
That's right. And I agree. The Bills are going to start getting enough attention when they start winning more, when they win more. We all said it. If they go 4-0, they'll get plenty of it. They're going to get plenty of attention. They're not going to get much attention 3-0 either. It's going to take 4-0 in this season with this schedule, and they've got to go to, they got to beat New England. Well, we'll see. But there's a lot going on. I mean, you think about the way they're playing, what the teams that they've played. We're still early, and we're still suffering, I think, from 2018 hangover. They do it until they find out who these teams are this year. They still transpose last year's teams onto this year's teams. So until we start getting into it, even the media will do it. Good teams are going to get the attention they deserve, and if the Bills deserve it, they will.
All right, a break. Chris Brown's going to join us when we come back. You want to be here for that. Chris Brown will have some red hot takes. We were teasing Eric about not having enough hot takes. Never a problem with Chris Brown. Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. He's going to join us after the top of the hour. Keep your calls coming in. We'll put you up there online with Chris as well. Coming back for one more hour, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.